You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and joining me today is a young man. I love saying that, right? Because I feel like I'm young at the ripe old age of 47, but I am actually speaking with a young man who has taken the digital marketing world by storm. He runs his own agency. He's done some pretty amazing things at the age of 20. That's 20. I'm talking with Gavin Lira, owner and founder and CEO of Empathy Marketing. Gavin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yo, I really appreciate that, David. It's a pleasure to be on here, man.
So one of the things that that struck me when you reached out and said, "Hey, let's do a podcast episode together," was something you said that you focus on in your business, which is helping your clients create niche or niche, if you're mm-hmm. Canadian or European, authority, right?
Yeah.
And this is actually something that I talk about a lot, is the importance of being very specific in where you're focusing your marketing efforts. So I'm curious, you know, why did you decide that that's an avenue that you really wanted to focus on when you put your firm together?
Yeah, for sure, David. I appreciate you asking that. I think the main thing is when I first got started in business, I used to try to sell to basically anyone. And what I found is that it's easier to get appointments that way, depending on your messaging. But what really, where at least for me, that's how it was. But what really messed me up was the fulfillment side and like how you can actually create something that's scalable. And then as you continue to grow, it was like, now we're speaking to a whole bunch of markets. So now it actually becomes harder to set appointments too, because our messaging is very off. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand that as much because they don't have as much experience in direct marketing, mm-hmm. where they can, you know, put X amount of things in and get Y results and see very clearly what variables make a difference. So when we saw that, that's really when we were like, okay, this is something that is common among other businesses as we began to talk with them. And yeah, that's just something where we have typically a four-list process of how people can get basically define a niche and get people to rapidly build trust and credibility and like them.
Okay, so you were going pretty broad at the beginning. What did you narrow into?
Yeah. So the main thing is we went broad from, I was working, just running Facebook ads for basically by myself when I first started with any company. And what we narrowed into is we narrowed more so into services that serve the industries that we're in. And our industries are still pretty wide ourselves. Mm-hmm. However, that's our kind of like sub niche per se, because we do a lot of PR now. That's the main thing that we do. And we serve a few different niches within that. But one thing that we talk with whenever we're getting someone featured is, what's the story that we want to tell, right? When somebody looks you up online, like when someone looks up your Google page, what box are people putting you into? Because we all put people into boxes, whether we like it or not, just based off how we see them, you know, right away.
So you bring up an interesting point, because, you know, so often we think about how do you niche or how do you target specifically around the who you're going after. But in your case, what you're niching or targeting around is what you're offering.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so we think about who we're working with, like who has a higher lifetime value of a client that typically will do research before buying the product or service online, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we have that clientele, we know by bolstering their Google pages and making them an authority in their space, when someone looks them up and having third parties that say really good things about them on Google, that it's going to help their conversions and all the marketing that they're doing when people look them up on Google. So yeah, that's how we thought about it.
So, okay. I want to get back to where I started, mm-hmm. which is, how did you at the age of 20 wind up running this agency? Obviously, you know, a lot of people dabble in stuff and are self-taught in our space. I certainly I was just thinking back in 2009 when Facebook started allowing advertising on what were then called business pages, I was one of the first to jump in and start offering that as a service. But I had to teach myself.
Tell me the story of how you got where you are right now.
Yeah, for sure. So when I first got into business, I was actually 17. I was just broke in high school looking for like a job or whatnot. And I was like, you know, I could go, I've done a whole bunch of stuff before, like, you know, refereeing basketball games, mowing lawns, just the typical, you know, whatever. And it was very boring to me, but it paid. So it was whatever. And then one night I was, have you ever gone on YouTube, David? And there's all those suggested videos. And then once you're done, you're just like, click another one. And then you click another one and you get in the wormhole.
It's the YouTube coma. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a deep coma that night. And basically I came across a video that said how to start an online business with $0 down. It was 8 minutes long. I was like, this is probably bullshit, but let me listen to it. And, you know, maybe there will actually be valid points within it. But whatever, I was kind of bored. I watched it and it introduced me to the business method of drop shipping. And I was like, this actually seems legitimate. And for the first time, I began my quote unquote, like entrepreneurial journey, really. And I basically had $300 at the time, lost all my money in drop shipping. Mm-hmm. But I caught the entrepreneurial bug. And that's when, you know, I worked some more odd jobs, got my money back, started running Facebook ads this time around, actually was making money. I was like, man, I could make a lot more money if I started doing this for local businesses. So then I did that. And I just kept kind of continuing to, you know, work and learn and stop doing things, try different things. And that's how I got into the PR space and really have focused in on that as our focus today to help people establish their brands and become authorities in their space.
Excellent. I know the story that you told very well because I've been through very similar situations. And for those of us who are self-taught or learn the craft of marketing, it is a very common journey, right? We're looking to start something of our own, and we have maybe a little bit of shiny object syndrome looking at this and that. And then finally we realize, you know, I could put this to better use by helping other people. And so kudos to you, Gavin, for figuring that out and doing it. So let's talk a little bit about authority for a business. There's two different sort of ways that you approach this. One is, and you mentioned this term earlier, direct marketing, where you are really trying to get people to take a specific action in response to the marketing that you're doing. And then there's this other thing that I often advise smaller businesses against, which is branding and getting authority because you're known, you know, tied to a particular you know, product or solution, but you're not telling people how to take advantage of it. Can you talk a little bit about how you work with a client through developing the strategic approach to whatever the positioning is that you're working on with them?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So the process typically goes with first, you know, are we a good fit, right? If somebody is, you know, just getting started or whatnot, they need to, you know, have a proven offer, have sales, have a machine that they're looking to scale, right? And typically people that we work with are taking sales appointments, right? Or they're meeting with potential prospects that could be clients. And we're looking at with them really like, okay, with your marketing avenues, like, you know, how many people are going to your website? Like how many people are looking you up on Google? Because we know that if someone's going to your website, unless you're running ads directly to a website, that means that, hey, like people are looking me up and then they're, you know, clicking my website. So that's when I was like, man, so some of these people, like we worked with some different coaches before in this space too, that were selling like $10,000, $16,000 services. And I was like, the amount of research, I know people are going on YouTube, they're going on Google, they're looking up reviews of that company and whatnot. I'm like, how can we highlight what these people are doing, right? And the way that we typically do that, it starts with getting people a press release to just, you know, get them out in the news. We get them on podcasts to start speaking, educating, providing value to their audience on what they know. We help them create content from those. So we just take little pieces of all of it so they can share their journey on social media and provide value to the people that are following them or looking them up on social media. And then that's when we start basically after we've done that for about 2 months and help them get on a lot of podcasts, get content out there, we'll start pitching them to more authoritative press, right? And that's where, you know, it's a good differentiator and it can help build your brand and be something that's different in the marketplace because there's not a lot of people that can say that they've been featured in Forbes, that they've been on Entrepreneur, that they've been in a lot of these publications. So that's something that we help really to basically through our journey and whatnot to help them establish their brand.
Brilliant. And I see lots of different ways of creating authority around public display of your knowledge, public display of your expertise. And, you know, some people talk about, I mean, what we're doing right now, podcasting or publishing a book or speaking at summits, which is a big thing right now this past year, you know, where everybody's stuck at home. Well, we all know how to use Zoom now. So why don't we all jump on it and use it? Right. And so, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, it was getting your TEDx time slot and being able to publish on Forbes or Huffington Post or something and having that credibility. So I think what you're doing and the differentiator piece of it, I think is really important. Can you talk about for a business owner who's going, okay, yeah, I see all the steps, but it seems like a lot of work from the consumer's vantage point. What is the leverage that you're providing your clients you're doing this with versus what the consumer is seeing elsewhere in the market if they're trying to find a solution to whatever problem they're dealing with?
That's a really good question. So the main thing is you want to give people a reason to pay attention to you, right? And give someone a reason to listen to you, because there's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions and a lot of similar products and services. So if you like and trust someone more, because there's one thing that I talked with David Meltzer a while ago, if you're familiar with him in this space, and he told me something that stuck with me to this day. And it was that if you have 100% credibility, you'll close 100% of sales. I was like, that is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because if someone really believes in what you're saying and they like you, which is more off the credibility side of things, but then you're going to have a much higher conversion rate. So when you're talking about your competitors, and when you're looking across the different industries and whatnot, and similar products and services that may be bought, right? It's why should someone listen to me if we have a similar product or service and our offers are similar? Well, you know, I've been in X and this person has not. I provided value with content. You can see my process here. It gives people more certainty around the process of moving forward when they know what to expect after working with someone, where they explain that and educate them on the process. So that's a lot of things that where they can use that to leverage. And then of course on their websites, you know, there's been some A/B tests that shown that, you know, different as seen on logos can help with conversions too. So basically it can make a web page more effective.
And I said before we started, no jargon, but that's a good point. Is if you have, what do they call that? They don't call it hero bars. What do they call that? That bar, just
the as seen on section is typically
So it, by just lending the recognized logos of platforms, and you'll see this on LinkedIn. I know you're a LinkedIn guy too. That some people will put the their LinkedIn headshot, and they'll put like the different places where they may have been seen. And there's, by the way, there's a way to do that. Us marketers are happy to share with you, business owners, that really lends credibility, because you look at somebody's website or their LinkedIn profile and you go, oh, well, clearly this authoritative news organization or organization that, you know, had them speak or something thinks highly enough of this individual. Maybe there's somebody I should, you know, consider pursuing as my solution provider.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And especially, you know, if you're talking even about like verification on a social platform, which is typically a process where you need to get a lot of press in order to do so. I mean, verification is more rare than an Ivy League degree. So, you know, if you can have that on certain profiles as well, which is something that I'm currently in the process of getting, and it does take a lot of time and effort, but, you know, it really is a differentiator that shows like, oh, this is someone that has done something or is worth listening to, or at least checking and looking more into when you come across that profile.
When you say verification, I'm assuming, and I maybe I'm not getting what you're saying specifically, but like the Facebook or the LinkedIn check mark that says we've actually vetted this person. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. The Instagram, Facebook, typically blue checks, right? Or what they're looked at. Yeah. Just on different social platforms. Twitter has one too. All those different ones too can, and it depends on your business, whether that's something worth doing or whatnot, but these are all examples of how, you know, getting these can help basically you leverage your press and credibility that you're gaining.
That's a good point, because I'm thinking about, you know, how many people actually know what those little check marks mean? And mm-hmm. you know, and certainly in some circles that makes total sense. All right, I got a question about something I've been looking at over your shoulder since we started talking, mm-hmm. and it's the name of your firm, Empathy.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about where that name came from and why you're focusing on empathy.
Yeah, for sure. So to give a little context around the timeline of the company too, we started as the Empathy Firm and Empathy Digital Marketing, and we rebranded to the Empathy Firm. And Empathy Digital Marketing, when I came up with that name originally, it was really a matter of there in the digital marketing space, people often forget that there's another person on the other side of the screen that they are communicating with. Mm-hmm. And they do not use empathy. A lot of times agencies won't use enough empathy to understand the end consumer, the person who's actually consuming the content that they are advertising to. They'll just look at the metrics on the back end and they'll optimize for that, which works. But it's funny because one of the best ways to get the best results for your campaigns is to really have very good empathy. And then all of a sudden the metrics magically become better when you can advertise properly, putting yourself in someone else's shoes that is making a decision on your product or service.
I love it because it comes full circle back to where we started, which is the narrow focus, the tighter focus on your marketing message. And if you know the specific person you're talking to, it's much easier to be empathetic to their yes. situation rather than the broad, you know, swath of, you know, half of the planet, right? You can't be empathetic because they're not all dealing with the same situation.
You're totally correct. Empathy literally has been my number one skill. If I were to rank myself just throughout different points in my life, like I would stay up to like when I was in middle school, even just late nights helping my friends and peers. And I thought I wanted to be a therapist or guidance counselor before I found entrepreneurship. And now I use this to really amplify my ability to, you know, okay, you know, keep building systems, processes, you know, serving people, making money. And now I can, you know, free myself down the line so I can do more of that work, spread my message with that. And it's all that empathy that takes to make that possible and put yourself in that other person's shoes so you can best market to them.
I love this image that you've painted of being somebody who is going to help others in some way, right? A guidance mm-hmm. counselor, somebody who was going to help assist decision-making or show people the way. And you're doing that, and you're doing it in a highly competitive space of marketing for businesses. But when the right business tunes into your approach to what you're trying to help them do and sees that that's your focus, right? Just mm-hmm. like you're helping set them apart, you've clearly set yourself apart very effectively with the wording and the general approach. So well done.
I appreciate that. I really do. I freaking love empathy. It's it's something that means a lot to me personally. And I know it's very important for the work that we do. So I really appreciate that, David.
So Gavin, before we wrap up, I know that you work with a reasonably broad range of types of clients. Mm-hmm. You also work in a broad geographic area here in North America, also in Europe. What are the types of clients who are sort of the best fit for the type of work that you guys are doing?
Yeah. So the main thing is, right, what we typically say, if someone's interested in working with us, is typically if you have a product or service and your client has a lifetime value, a profit, meaning, you know, they will over time give you more than $1,000 profit when you work with somebody. And chances are, if that's the case, they're typically looking people up on Google to make a decision of who they're going to go with initially, even if they see an ad. You know, I know me personally, if I see ads before I go and like, I might do my research, go through the whole ad and then go look someone up on Google and then decide if I'm going to make that purchase or not, or look up competitors, maybe compare them. So anyone who falls in that category, we typically find a way where we can have a mutually beneficial relationship. Yeah, that's what's best said. We find ourselves a lot of times working with different coaches, consultants, just because they understand the value of that research. But mm-hmm. as time goes on, I'm expecting a lot more businesses will continue to see the value that Google on really optimizing that page can have when someone looks you up.
And I think, you know, coaches and consultants are taught how to market around the approach that you've just described. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of Main Street traditional business owners have never had the benefit of learning this approach and understanding, you know, customer or client lifetime value, how you think about that and how you think about it in relation to what you really ought to invest to bring them into your business. And so good for you for helping educate businesses out there about, you know, the right approach to thinking about investing in their marketing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been, you know, with COVID and everything, it's definitely accelerated things because we've had conversations going that beforehand just weren't happening. So yeah. you can tell that the market's starting to shift more to that. And you're totally right that some more so traditional businesses or just, you know, brick and mortar or whatever it may be are getting into that space where they're realizing that it's important to start really establishing themselves online.
Well, Gavin Lira, I'm so happy that we've had a chance to dig into the work that you've been doing. And I'd love for our listeners to be able to find you. What's the best website for them to discover you at?
Yeah, the best website would just be empathyfirm.com.
Excellent. And what are they going to find there? Is there a process for them to reach out to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a contact form there at the bottom of the site. They can learn a bit about our services, what we do, how we go about it. And then also, if they do want to reach out directly as well, I'm typically most active on Instagram or LinkedIn. And it's just Gavin Lira on both those.
And that's LIRA.
Yeah, like the old Italian currency, the new Turkish currency.
Oh, the Turkish currency is Lira too. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. It's funny. I have a Turkish client from New York. His name's Justine. And I just had a call with him yesterday and we've been working together for like a year. And he's like, I never really realized that your last name was Lira. And that's like the Turkish currency because he's originally from Turkey. It's just pretty funny. So yeah, it's Turkish currency right now.
And my daughter does acrobatics and silks and all of that sort of thing. And there's a lira, which in the circus is used, which is the kind of big hoop, a big ring that acrobats use as well. So,
I never knew that, man.
Yeah. So you'll find these things all over the place. Your name is just going to be popping up left and right now.
That's hilarious. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Gavin Lira, thanks so much for joining us. And folks, thank you for joining us as well. You've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I look forward to connecting with you again back here on another episode soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.